He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Two for Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show. It's also CPI Tuesday. We'll get to that in a minute. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, the market opened to the downside, and now it is on the upside. I'm seeing green on the screen with the NASDAQ right now up 103 points. It was down about 40 at the open. The NASDAQ is now at 16,123. The Dow, which was down about 60 points, is now up 60 points. That puts it at 38,834. The S&P 500, which was down just a little bit, is now up 21 points to 5,139. Small caps down, however, 40 basis points. Crude oil is up 9 cents. Probably one of the reasons why the CPI came in at 0.4%. Gasoline prices have been moving higher. Gold is down $22 an ounce today to 2,166. And well, how is the bond market reacting to today's CPI report? Well, it's up 4 basis points. I think the bond market says, you know, inflation's not gone yet. The 10-year's at 4.15, and Bitcoin is now at 72,607. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we'll talk a little bit about the latest CPI report. Tomorrow we get the PPI report, and next week the Fed will be meeting, but I wouldn't expect much from that. Other than it's always that press conference afterwards and those comments afterwards which give guidance as to when we can expect a rate cut. And right now it's looking like June of this year.
And we get the old dot plot this time around. So we'll see what they're follow the dots and see
if
they change.
It's always exciting to see the dot plot. I can't wait to see that. We had a soft market yesterday. I would say the market continues to soften up. You know, we were at about 700 B-plus or better ranked stocks in my Best Stocks Now app about a week ago. We're now at 527, so we've lost a couple hundred stocks off of that list of companies that meet my criteria of combined valuation and momentum. And the A-plus stocks have dropped from about 400. This is momentum only, A-plus momentum only, where we find a lot of early movers through this list. It's down to 264 today. It's dropped 130 since yesterday. So I would say the market continues to soften up from its torrid run that really began last January when we called a bottom in the NASDAQ. We've had a few stalls along the way, but it's been a pretty torrid run, especially this year. And I would say the gasoline on the fire, the first shot over the bow, the gasoline on the fire was when Microsoft announced ChatGPT. It was the first manifestation. It was the first product of all the AI, artificial intelligence hype, that we've been hearing over the years. It was finally here, okay? It was finally something. You could ask ChatGPT to write a song. You could ask ChatGPT to write a report, to search for this. Now you can ask it to draw pictures, to produce pictures, cartoons, all kinds of different things. It's here. And, of course, underneath the hood, we started finding out that NVIDIA and Arista Networks ASM lithography and others were underneath that hood. That really threw gasoline on the fire. And then, of course, late last year, we started getting the first really, really hot earnings reports from NVIDIA, which were just unbelievable. In fact, now it's been three quarters in a row of just the best three quarters I've ever seen any company string together. And you saw NVIDIA blow by every company in the market except for two, Microsoft and Apple, as from a market cap point of view. So anyways, I think it's cooling off right now. There's several problems. The biggest problem is valuation. I spoke last night, Barry, to a investment club. I've spoken there in person before a couple times. I think I've been there, and a couple times via Zoom. They're in Sun City, Arizona. They're a fun bunch, man. I really love speaking to them. I used to have a radio show in Scottsdale on Money Radio. Spent a lot of time over in that neck of the woods. And I talked about the forward PE of the S&P, which is at 21.1 right now. And, you know, the 10-year average is 17.5. And you could say, well, the hot growth in the market justifies that multiple. But it is stretched. It's stretched. You're hitting a 2.5, almost 3-year high now on the forward multiple. That's one problem. Second problem is, eventually the market runs out of fuel, you know, money coming in from the sidelines, chasing these stocks. And I'm seeing a leveling off.
Supply and demand. And you got to have the demand, right? And you have to have the money to capital to move the stocks.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to, it takes continued, the fire starts to burn out, and you got to keep throwing new wood onto the fire, which is new money coming into the market. It hasn't been a problem yet, but it's starting to cool off. I'm seeing it in the charts. You look at the Dow, it has kind of plateaued, would be a good word. The NASDAQ has just barely started to plateau. It began last week. And the S&P 500 also has been plateauing. Doesn't mean it can't break out to new highs again. But after this run we've had, it's hard for me to imagine the market really taking off once again from here. I think the more likely scenario is consolidation of these gains, some profit taking, right? Some big gains are out there right now, a little bit of people taking money off, getting a little less offensive, a little bit more on defense, we'll just watch. We take it a day at a time. But that's kind of the direction I've been seeing here recently. So the CPI, 0.4. When I first saw that, I thought, that's pretty hot. Shelter and gasoline prices contribute the most. Well, you know what? That's where we spend most of our money. You know, how much of your budget goes to shelter and gasoline? Maybe food has cooled off a little bit.
Energy, it was weird. Energy is the first time it's been a positive number, right, in the last five readings in terms of monthly, you know, month over month. And then you had food came in at 0%, even though I don't know if I it doesn't feel that way when I go to the grocery store, but it came in at zero. Used cars were another piece that kind of ticked up half a percent. A little hotter than that has been recently. Really, almost kind of I think everything came in. The core and the top line figure were supposed to rise at 0.4, at 0.3%. They both came in a tenth higher at 0.4. But I think where the inflation came from, the markets really, you know, if you remember, we came in a tenth higher last time, and the market really didn't like it. I think where the increases were this time around were a little more palatable in the fact that it, you know, was in energy. I think energy was up 2.3% for, like I said, for the first time in 5 months. And services inflation actually went ticked down for the month from 0.7 to 0.5. And services, obviously, our U.S. economy is a huge service economy. And so prices coming down there, maybe some silver lining in the overall figures when you start breaking apart the different components.
Well, we've got Kathy Jones, who's the chief fixed income strategist at Schwab, saying a broad breakdown of CPI. The overall trend is easing, but very slowly. That's her comments. Lizanne Saunders, which is usually really bearish. She's always just kind of negative and bearish, in my opinion. She points out that this CPI print was the largest increase since August of 2023. Anyways, I wouldn't expect a rate cut anytime within the next few months. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we got a little bit of a rally taking place now in the market. We're surging right now. I'm just going to look here and see. Oh, let's see. Elf is doing pretty well. It's up 4% today. Meta's up 2.3. Nvidia's up 2.3. Amazon's up 1.6. So that's kind of the leaders in the market right now. Well, I can tell you this.
I think Elf got a bump from Sephora. I think Sephora had a good report. So by default, Elf gets a little bump as well. So,
well, Elf and Celsius continue to be two of the fastest growing stocks, whether you like them or not. The public apparently likes them, and they're growing at 50-60% per year. There's always a few stocks like that out there in the market. It changes from year to year. New ideas come along. That's why we send our kids to college, right? Hoping that they'll be one of those people that comes up with that idea that takes off. I think the biggest example of that of all time, whether you like the guy or not, Zuckerberg. Where'd they send him? To Harvard?
Yeah, he was, wasn't it? I think it was Harvard Harvard.
Facebook.
Yeah, and took it from those twins. Either way, it works out. It worked out well for him.
Yes, very well. Okay, now,
The Winklevoss twins?
Yeah, taxes are definitely on the ballot this year. President Biden just put out his 2025 budget proposal. Okay, it begins with fiscal
trillion
spending for 2025 amounts to $7.3 trillion. That's massive. It's massive.
It's
that's
crazy.
Up from $6.9 trillion this year. Okay, so I mean, I like how they begin with what they're going to spend. They should begin with what we're a family budget. Now, I'm talking, look, the Republicans have been guilty. The Democrats have been guilty. It should begin with the top line. Here's what we're going to take in, right? And then we make a budget from what we take in. They do it just the opposite. Here's what we're going to spend.
And here's what we need.
No matter what we take in. And so it's just, and that's why we have $34 trillion in debt.
Yeah, I kind of call that. I call that budget a set of campaign talking points.
There's going to be some big campaign talking points over this. Okay, capital gains now. Okay, and then of course you get the spin that this budget will decrease the federal deficit by $3 trillion over the next 10 years, but there's some big ifs in there. There has to be a lot of laws passed in order for that to be achieved. In other words, they have to take in a lot more money than they're taking in now, okay? The capital gains tax would be increased to equalize the wage income tax, meaning capital gains for those earnings at least $1 million would be taxed at 39.6%, up from 20%.
Go back to so that's go back dumb. And look at what happened during I think it was I want to say it was the Roosevelt years when they tried to tax when you had a huge tax like that and actually revenues went down. But that's,
well, okay, so that's that. This is how they're going to pay for this and achieve reduction in the deficit. The Medicare tax would be increased to 5%. From 3.8% for those earning at least $400K. That's that little bit that comes out of your paycheck every time you get a paycheck. You say, how come I get paid $20 an hour, and by the time it's all said and done, I get about $16 an hour? That's part of it, is that Medicare tax. It calls for a minimum 25% tax on households worth at least $100 million. You're going to have to worry about that, Barry. At least a 25%
worth $100 million, which, by the way, means that somebody has to go through there and value all those assets to see if somebody's at $100 million, right?
Yes. The top personal income tax would be increased to 39.6 from 37, reversing the cut that Trump signed into law, President Trump, former President Trump. On corporate taxes, the tax rate on billion-dollar firms would rise to 21% from 15%. These are massive increases. I mean, these are draconian. And the wider corporate tax rate would be hiked to 28%, the Biden administration said. What's more, U.S. firms must pay on their foreign earnings. That would be doubled from 21%. From 10.5%, and the tax on stock buybacks would go from 1% to 4%, so they would quadruple. So anyways, that's all going to be part of, I think you have a pretty distinct two different visions and plans for going forward, and we'll let the voters decide in November. There's also $895 billion set aside for defense spending and global conflicts. That's about the same as last year. That's a 1% increase from last year. Okay, speaking of defense, we had a very unusual event right here in Charleston over the weekend. And it's just now starting to show up in the national news. Obviously, Boeing has two major plants. They have their biggest plant by far in Washington, Tacoma, Seattle area. And we have ours here in North Charleston, which
where they do the Dreamliner. They put the Dreamliner essentially together, huge hangars where they roll those planes out.
And one of the whistleblowers who's already testified was in town over the weekend to testify some more. Then they found him dead in his truck in the hotel parking lot. I haven't figured out what hotel or motel it was yet, but I would like to know that. And the story is it was a self-inflicted wound. Okay, he committed suicide. So, look, I mean, there's all kinds of theories, but if you read the comments on the story, not very many people believe it was self-inflicted. So, anyways, you'll be hearing more about this story. As I looked at charts yesterday, I usually comment on the chart of the day, which I believe yesterday was F-O-U-R, four payments, and the worst chart of the day yesterday was Boeing. It was breaking down. Only two of the magnificent seven names have outperformed the S&P 500 since January. In fact, Google has underperformed. Apple has underperformed. Tesla has underperformed. I think the only two that have outperformed are NVIDIA and Meta. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the subjects I talked about last night during my little workshop, 90 minutes for the Investment Club in Sun City, Arizona, was the macro outlook. And the reason why the market has been going up since 2009 is pretty simple. Earnings for the S&P 500 have been going up since 2009. They've been going up for 15 straight years, except for the COVID year, which we could call an extraordinary event that hopefully won't happen again. It's a very unusual event that occurred. The market recovered right away and then went on to set record earnings the following year in 2021 after the 2020 COVID year. We're also expecting record earnings this year. Last year's going to come in at about $222 per share in earnings for the S&P, and that's up from $60 back in 2009. And the market, the indexes follow earnings. Stocks follow earnings. That was another big point I made last night. The questions I got mostly about individual stocks were on 2 or 3% growers, okay? It's hard to get capital appreciation out of a 2 or 3% grower. And same with an index. If the index, if earnings are growing by 1% a year for the S&P 500, it's hard to get capital appreciation. Now, we would have to do a little CAGR formula to see what rate we've been growing at. We've gone from $60 to $220, probably averages about 7 or 8% a year in earnings growth over the last 15 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. This year we're looking for $245, up from $223, $222 last year. Citigroup, now this is the most optimistic price target. They say that the S&P 500 could hit 5,700 this year. And how do they calculate that? They take $245 in earnings this year, and they multiply it by 21. They're using a 21 multiplier to get to 5,100, okay? Now they say a bull case of 5,700. I don't know how you add 600 points to that, Barry. But somehow they've got a bull case. As a year-to-date action overshoots our base case. So basically what they're predicting is that the market will continue to trade at very high multiples throughout the year, and they're trying to justify the high multiples that the market is currently trading at. I have a hard time with seeing 5,700 by the end of the year, but then again, I had a hard time seeing 70,000 on Bitcoin, right, Barry?
Right. Well, yeah. One of them at least has an E, right, in the equation. I think. You know, I think that's also too. You got to peel. You know, as you always talk about peeling back the onion, right? The market multiple, right, is certainly elevated. But then when you dive in, right, to individual companies, there's some names there that you know that we talk about a lot that may have a higher average multiple, but at the same time, right, their growth or potential growth path, right, kind of justifies the multiple. So it's we're looking at it. You know, you've got to get the, as you always mention, you got to get the macro call correct. But then also diving into those individual names, there's some certainly worth looking a little bit deeper in terms of how those individual growth path that each of those individual companies might be on.
Well, that E in the market's case stands for earnings. The Bitcoin also has an E. It's called euphoria. And nobody can predict when euphoria will end. I saw euphoria in the year 2000 when the NASDAQ went to 5,300. And then it went down 79%, and it took 15 years to get back to that area. I saw euphoria in 2020 and the beginning of 2021 when the Fed had interest rates at near zero. And all of that money was out there sloshing around from the COVID benefits. And we saw euphoria in several areas. We saw that year ARK funds go up 67%. And then the next year it went down 67%. So eventually that euphoria comes to an end. There was euphoria in Rivian. There was euphoria in Lucid Motors. There was euphoria all over the place. The euphoria today, nowhere is it better found than in Bitcoin. But having said that, I don't know when the euphoria will end. It won't be pretty. I see a lot of people now saying that Bitcoin has replaced gold as that stable value of currency. So anyways, there is a lot of E out there right now. And it's in the stock market, too. It's in euphoria. Now, as you said, there's stocks, however, that make sense. And I'm going to talk. This is one I featured last night at during my presentation. This is one that I think has something going on for it that's kind of been overlooked. Rosenblatt today is putting Qualcomm in the spotlight as they boost their price target on generative AI potential. And, you know, just as a guy who grew up in San Diego and lived there and saw Qualcomm go public at whatever it was, a dollar per share many years ago, Qualcomm is synonymous with the mobile phone. And really has been a very dull stock for the last decade. They haven't had much in the way of new hits while AMD and NVIDIA have been innovating. But you can never count Qualcomm out. They have some very good engineers that work at Qualcomm, and they're touting their Snapdragon 8 Generative 3-based Samsung Galaxy iPhone, which is going to be full of artificial intelligence, AI. The thing about Qualcomm right now is trading at a 40% discount to the SOX index, semiconductor index. So I just think that, that's a good example of, even though you've got an expensive market right now, the search for me every day is continuing to own the ones that I went over the target prices last night of NVIDIA, 5-year target price. I gave out the 5-year target price of Celsius Holdings, which is the monster or the energy drinks. And I talked about how, performance and relative strength and all of that is good, momentum. But that represents the past. That's looking backwards. That's where what the stock has done. And I said I add in that valuation component because the valuation component looks forward over the next 5 years. Momentum looks backwards. And, so to me, not knowing that 5-year valuation, really, you're shooting in the dark. You have no clue. Is it time to sell this stock? It's gone up a long ways. Well, I mean, part of that answer for me, a big part of that answer for me, comes down to that five-year valuation. Just like Rosenblatt does a valuation here on the market, it's numeric, it's quantitative. And I have a problem with asset classes like Bitcoin that I can't apply quantitative analysis to. I'm a numbers guy. Show me the numbers. I'm a number cruncher. And I've never had anybody really explain to me how you put a valuation on Bitcoin other than, well, there's a lot of demand for it. And all these ETFs, they're buying these ETFs. I think a lot of money is going to come out of those ETFs at some point in time. I don't know when. Like I say, euphoria is very hard to measure. But I'm seeing a lot of people talking about Qualcomm, and we agree with what could be going on there. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? J.P. Morgan is bullish on Duolingo. That's one we own in the emerging growth portfolio. They have a very novel, effective teaching model of teaching languages, which in today's world is pretty important to know, learn some other languages. Okay, when we come back, we'll look underneath the surface of the market. We're going to open up the hood and see what is purring underneath the hood and what is clunk on along. We'll be right back. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, and whoever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, we all of a sudden have a rally. I'm not sure what's doing it. The inflation report came in, you know, I thought a little bit on the hot side, but now you've got the Dow up 241 and the NASDAQ up 210 points. Let's see. We're surging also. Let's take a look underneath the surface of the market. I do see from our portfolios, NVIDIA's up 4.1% today. Meta's up 3%. ELF is up 5.3%. So those are some big winners driving our gains here today. Now, if we take a look at the Dow, which to me is the most boring of all the indexes, but it's the one that gets quoted the most, okay? 3M. All right. 3M is up 4.5% today. IBM is up 2%. I think 3M is going to split into different companies, much like General Electric's doing right now. Maybe they'll split into three different M's. I don't know. IBM is up 2.8%. Microsoft is up 2.4%. On the downside, guess who do you think? Who do you think the biggest loser in the Dow is today, Barry?
My guess would have been Walgreens, but they're not there anymore.
Nope. Boeing.
Boeing. Yeah, that would be.
I said yesterday.
Too, right?
Boeing was the worst chart in the market, and is dropping again today, another 3%. Man, I'll tell you, the drama at Boeing has been something.
Dude, the headline risk, it's so funny. I was looking at, you know, kind of their, you know, their backlog and you know, some of the new orders that they've had, right? And when you look at, you know, take away all of the headline risk, right? It's you know, from a new order standpoint, from a backlog, right? The way you've valued Boeing in the past,
yeah,
it actually, you know, makes it, you know, make has a compelling valuation argument. Of course, you know, who would, you know, you would be really bold to touch that thing at the moment, but
well,
it's interesting how just the business, right, has been completely overshadowed for good reason for everything else that's just going on around the
company. I feel sorry for just the people that work there, you know, when it seems like the people at the top have made a lot of screw ups.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, they have no problem with the backlog of orders. And it's when will they be able to get those orders done, because there's so much breathing down their neck right now and everything. So
yeah, and as an engineer, right, you would be, you know, you would, you know, somebody asked you where you work, right? You know, historically, you'd be, you know, head held high, right? I'm, you know, at Boeing, right?
Right.
Which is, you know, on the, you know, cusp of engineering, right? And then of course, at the moment, it's like, you know, Boeing, you know,
yeah.
It's
well, the biggest winner in the S&P 500 is Oracle. Well, Oracle said the magic words, okay? We're going to form a partnership with NVIDIA. So the two biggest winners in the S&P 500 today are Oracle and NVIDIA. Oracle's up 11.3%. NVIDIA is up 5.3%. Meta is up 3.9% despite President Trump's, former President Trump's comments this morning. What did he say? It's an enemy of the state. And he was weighing in on TikTok and ByteDance and all that. He said, well, if we get rid of TikTok, that's going to empower Facebook. And he says, I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, said Trump.
Yeah, so I believe Oracle, if I'm not mistaken, holds a lot of the data, if not all of the data, for TikTok. So at least in the U.S. So you're talking about, you know, data centers, and I believe Oracle runs that data behind the scenes. So.
Yeah. So there's a big controversy going on whether or not TikTok should be banned from the U.S. And I guess Trump basically is saying if you're going to ban TikTok, get rid of Facebook too. Okay, let's see. So the AI stocks are having a good day based on Oracle and NVIDIA. On the downside, Southwest Airlines is down 13.9%. I want to say
ties
they
right
warned.
Into Boeing. Yeah, ties right into Boeing. They were supposed to get, I want to say, 70, don't quote me on the exact number, around 75 planes from Boeing. I think they've figured out they're going to get maybe 37 or 27, so they're getting less planes. So what they've got to do is cut their schedule, which cuts into their future earnings. So
yes, and higher gas prices are hurting them, right. And the other. I just wouldn't own an airline stock. There aren't any of them in my best stocks now list, and there haven't been for quite some time. So Southwest is getting clobbered today, down 15%. All right, let's see what else here. Looking at the charts, we've got Enphase down 3.6. That's solar. Boeing down 3.3. American Airlines down 3. And Kohl's reported earnings today. And many wonder if Kohl's will go the way of Bed Bath & Beyond. But it's hanging in there. It's still profitable. It's a small cap stock now, just $3 billion. It's down 2.1% after their earnings report yesterday. And then over at the NASDAQ, the biggest winner is NVIDIA. Again, NVIDIA is up 5.1%. Just try shorting the stock if you think it's too expensive. I mean, any kind of good news at all. And this is the most popular stock in the market right now, no question about it. We called it the best stock in the market many moons ago. Meta is up 3.1. Amazon's up 2.5. Costco's rebounding a little bit. It's up 2.4. Adobe's up 2.1. Adobe will report earnings on Thursday. And that's about it. Okay, well, if you didn't get the newsletter last week, we looked at the presidential elections, the different possible outcomes, how that would impact the market. The market is definitely starting to look ahead now because it really heated up, of course, with the State of the Union address, with basically Trump sweeping the board on Super Tuesday, Biden's new budget plan, along with his tax plan. So things are very much heating up. And that's starting, it's going to be impacting the market more and more as we get closer to that first Tuesday in November. If you'd like to get the newsletter, you get 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, it seems like every day we're getting one or two new people, and I'm putting the money to work. I'm cleaning up the stocks that they bring in, etc. Keeping me busy for sure, and Barry and my whole crew. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.